Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning. We want the Lord to help us to give something that will be beneficial to us. I've been thinking and meditating a little, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, I want to have it right concerning the things like this that we teach, the things about temptation and how you deal with those things, and so I was seeking the Lord like that myself, and the Lord, I believe, impressed to me, go to the scriptures and see what they say. And you know, the Lord gave me a message out of that. I want to share that this morning. I guess I didn't look up the dictionary definition of temptation, because I suppose we all know what it means. Nobody likes to be tempted, do they? We don't like temptation. Godly people hate temptation. They don't want to feel any kind of a drawing to something. And so I want to see what the scriptures say this morning about a number of things, because I believe that the Lord delights in making us overcomers. The Lord wants us to be able to be His godly and holy children. And so there is a way to that. And I just want to think a little bit this morning, number of scriptures, James 1, and starting at verse 12, James 1 and 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The scriptures here teach us quite a bit right here in this. I want to look on down to verse 15 there. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That word lust means a longing, especially for what is forbidden. Concupiscence or desire. Lust after. This morning, that same scripture, that same word in the Greek is used in Luke, the 22nd chapter and 15th verse, where it says, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, we only, in our culture or whatever, it seems like we think of the word lust as just an evil word. The Greek word that was used here means a desire. And the same desire that is mentioned, as we just said in Luke, Jesus said, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I want to think about some things that, you know, in Genesis 3, we read about Eve in a temptation that she was in, and Satan was speaking with her, and it says in verse 6, Genesis 3 and verse 6, the whole story is from 1 to 6, I suppose, but it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, Eve saw some things in that temptation. She saw some things that looked good. She saw some things that was appealing to natural God-given desires within her. but it was out of its place. It was out of context. And so I'm thinking about that in the verses we read in James, where it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires. Okay? Now, we have natural God-given desires. We like food, don't we? But the Lord told Eve, I don't want you to partake of this fruit. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And it goes on to say, it was pleasant to the eyes. And it says it could make one wise. That is appealing to desires that we are made with. And so, but it's appealing to desires that we were made with in an unholy and ungodly way. God had told Eve, don't eat of that tree. And she well knew it. You know, this morning, the temptations that come to us many times in James there, where it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. And enticed. Do you know we're in a very careful predicament sometimes when we are enticed, aren't we? And so we have to learn to deal with temptation. Every one of us have to learn how to deal with those things when our flesh becomes enticed in a way that it should not become enticed with. Maybe with God-given desires that are out of place. Enticed in a way that is wrong. There's many, many ways, and I want to mention quite a few of them today. There's many ways that we can be tempted with who we are. And Satan took advantage of those. And it says, then when lust or those desires have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. There is a time when there is that enticement. Eve felt that enticement. Eve could have turned from that. I think Eve would have done herself and us a great favor if she would have turned from that and said, God said no. I think Eve would have done that. Would have done well to do that. But Eve was enticed. And lust conceived. And she began, then sin was brought forth. And she decided in her mind, I think I'll try that. I think I'll do that. And you know, and that is the way that temptation leads to sin. Those desires that we may feel when Jesus was in the garden, or when Jesus was in the desert there and he was tempted, it means he was tempted. It means his desire. The devil brought forth the same thing. Working through his desires. He tempted him with food, did he not? He tempted him this great miracle that can be performed. Why don't you jump off of this pinnacle of this temple? The scripture says that, you know, if that he won't... How does it say that? That he would not suffer our foot to be... Yeah, if thou dash thy foot against a stone. We know that scripture, most of us. But we think about those things, and Satan was working and tempting there. Today, you and I will also feel that sometimes. And I want to encourage us. Jesus, it says, was yet without sin. I believe that God wants our lives to be yet without sin. In the temptations that he allows our way. And I want to think about some things. And I'd like to ask us to ask the Lord to bless this time together. Because folks, this is something that you face and I face. Every one of us. We face the devil. And if we have lived our life and we come down to the other end and we've made a great success in the Lord, I want to tell you the devil's going to tempt us then to be proud or something. You know, he's going to tempt you and I with things. We are going to have to learn how to deal effectively with Satan. That the end does not bring forth death. We see there where Eve was tempted. She was drawn aside. She was drawn by enticement of her desires. And then lust conceived. And it says it bringeth forth death, and death when it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know, this morning, I think it does us well to arm ourselves with the word of the Lord. I want to tell you something. When sin comes in, there's a price greater than most of us realize. I think there is a price there that Eve paid. She had not a clue what was fixing to happen in her life. She had not a clue that she was going to lose the most precious things of her life. And I will tell you, I am certain that she never dreamed what was going to happen. She was going to have children. One of them was going to, before long, kill the other one and create grief in her heart. That I imagine through the long life Adam and her lived, they carried that. I don't know how long Eve lived, but I want to tell you something. They carried that grief. And so this morning, I think we would do well to arm ourselves to begin with, to recognize this thing is very, very dangerous. Arm ourselves with that knowledge. Let ourselves believe that. Let ourselves take heed to that. That I don't want anything to do with this. There is death in this thing. Yes, Eve saw the enticement of it. There is something really good here. There is something really enticing here. There's something my flesh would really like here. Well, I want to tell you something. What Eve didn't take in account was that she didn't know that when God said, you're going to surely die, there was going to be death there that she knew nothing of. And this morning, young folks, old folks, all of us, it would do us well to take heed that those things that we want in life, we cannot have if we let ourselves fall to temptation. The scripture says there in the first verse we read, 12th verse of James 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Isn't that an awesome promise this morning? You know, it's not all against something. You know, if we, by God's help and grace, and I want to look at this, I don't see how I could even begin to finish today, but by God's help, I want to paint a picture to us of the way to effectively fight against these kind of things. The way to win in our lives. You know, the scripture says, blessed is the man that endure. You know that word blessed, it includes, part of the definition is happy. Do you know that when we allow God to help us to win, it brings a happiness way down here, way down inside, that really helps us against the temptations of the flesh. I know I'm just scratching the surface right now, but I want to remember, folks, that the death that it brings forth is not just eternal. It starts here. The issues that it brings forth starts here. The payment that people pay for sin starts here. And so when we are tempted, let's remember, I don't think I want to go down that road. I don't think I want to allow my flesh to be enticed. And so what do then? We actually feel enticed. We don't like to feel enticed to do evil, do we? We don't like to feel. Eve had never sinned. She was pure within and without. And yet the devil came to her and enticed her with something that looked good to the taste. And you think he won't do that to us? Folks, I want to tell you something. We better be on our guard. We better realize when God said it brings forth sin and sin brings forth death, that's what it does. And so if we should fail, I will tell you we ought to scramble to get away from that thing. We ought to fight. We ought to be violent in our fight against the flesh and against the things that would destroy all the hope we have of heaven, of a godly life, of the things that it brings to our home, to our own heart and life, of the of the condemnation of sin being gone from our life. We can't have those things if we allow the enemy to trip us up. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9, it says, whom resist, let's see, be sober, be vigilant. There it is. The scriptures tell us, you watch your step. Jesus told Peter, he said, watch and pray, Peter. Watch and pray, you guys, lest you fall into temptation. Peter had no idea what was right around the corner from him. And so Peter tells us here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What is a roaring lion like? Has anybody ever met one before? Have you? You maybe have heard one, maybe at the zoo you've seen one. One time I was at a place that had a lion, and that thing got all upset and was jumping against the side of the cage. And I want to tell you something. It's a fearful thing. A lion is very aggressive. A lion is very bold. That's the way the devil operates. And so Peter tells us, he said, you be sober. You watch what you're doing. You be vigilant. Be on your guard. Because the devil, like a roaring lion, it says, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know that we are not alone in this, but all are subject to vanity? All are subject to being tempted this morning. And so when we recognize that, we recognize that we have to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I just want to encourage us this morning to take courage. The Lord passed us the victory, folks. He gave us the ability. And I want to look here at some of the ways, and I know we may not finish this morning, but I want to look at some of the ways we can fight. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Did you know this is scripture this morning? Did you know this is God's promise to you and me? Let's believe it. Let's believe that what God said is true, and every man's a liar. If we say it's not true, let's believe that we're a liar then. This is what the scripture says. It says, there's not any temptation taken you. It's common to man. But God is faithful, folks. God is faithful, who will not suffer you, but will with the, let's see, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. In Hebrews 4 and 5, 15 and 16, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know, this ought to help us. It says, we don't have an high priest, folks, that can't be touched with the feeling of what we go through, of the infirmity we have of being in this flesh. Because it says that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know that Jesus was tempted in all points, it says, just like we are this morning? That ought to give us a little bit of consolation. He was yet without sin, and he gives that to you and me this morning. He yields that power to us. We have become heirs with Jesus of the kingdom of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. Not just over there in heaven, but here. Joint heirs with the power that he had in his life to be able to live that way. I know there's a part that we have to play, and I want to talk about that. But folks, there is a part that only God can play. And that is where we have to draw nigh to him. We have to have God working in our life, or this won't work. We have to do more than just what we can do. I want to talk a little bit about both things this morning. Let us therefore come boldly, it says, unto the throne of grace. That word grace, if you look it up, it says something about divine enablement. It's not just this divine favor that man can do nothing about his situation. He falls into sin all the time and there's grace to forgive. It's not just that. There is grace to forgive. God will help us out. And it says there's an advocate with the Lord should we fail. But I want to tell you something. This grace has divine enablement in it to cause us to live for the Lord every day. And I hope that we can, our faith can be inspired this morning that God has what we need to be able to help us this morning. God has what we need, folks, to be able to make heaven our home. We must first realize we will be tempted. To be on your guard, he says. Realize the old devil's going to come along and he is going to tempt you to do wrong. And he's going to tempt me to do wrong. We don't like that. But you know what? There's help for us. And it says, let us therefore, because of these temptations, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The scriptures tell us, Jesus said in teaching people to pray, he told them to pray. This is Matthew 6 and 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Matthew 26 and 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know what that tells us this morning? If we don't watch and pray, we may enter into temptation that we are, it's unnecessarily so. There is a walk with the Lord where he wants us to walk with him in such a way that the grace of God comes down through that vine, Jesus, and comes into our lives. He said, I'm the true vine and ye are the branches. The Lord wants to come down through that vine and into our lives. Folks, if we do not watch and pray, if we do not form a real relationship with the Lord, I promise you, you're not going to stand. We're not going to make it. It takes more than what we have. People in the world try. They try to be good. They try to do their best. But it takes more than that. And many times, I believe the failure is right there where we do not watch and pray and form with the Lord a real walking with him until our desire is out to him. Lord, have mercy upon me that I can know you, that I can walk with you. Have mercy upon me that in the mornings or whenever our times are, that I can stop and be diligent and be watchful and pray and seek your face and ask you to have your way in my life. Do you know that that is where the basis for real, true winning comes from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from walking with him. There isn't any way to get around that. There isn't any substitute for it. There, if we don't do that, if we don't walk with God, we will not be able to make it. So this morning, let's walk with the Lord. Let's learn to walk with Him. Let's learn what that scripture means, that I am the true vine and ye are the branches. And it is my will that, it is the Father's will that you bring forth much fruit. That's what the Lord wants to do. But it comes, our part is that we obey, that we resist. And we want to read some scriptures about some of those things here a bit. There is, in James 4 and 6, it says here, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you know this morning that there is a formula right here that if we will put it into our life, folks, it works. It says here, he giveth more grace. Let's believe that. Let's believe that he gives more grace than we even need. He's able to do that this morning. And so it says, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You know what? Eve did not do that. She believed the devil that it was going to be better for her to partake of that and please her senses. She believed that. The scripture says, submit yourselves to God. Let's do that this morning. It says, resist the devil. Now, you know what? I believe this. The devil is a lot more powerful than you and me. Do you believe that? I believe that this morning. He's a lot more powerful than we are. But that's not the end of the story. The Lord's giving us a little formula here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. We have to get violent sometimes. We have to tell the devil, I don't want any part of this. We have to sever with any little drawing that we feel. We have to go all the way to not just resist it, but to not look at it, to not have anything to do with it, to flee from it, to violently get, I don't want anything to do with this. I resist this thing. Now I want to tell you something. We're going to need God's help to do that. And it goes right on to tell us, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I have found we flee into the presence of the Lord. Oh Lord, help me this morning. Lord, help me to see myself in this battle. Help me to see it your way. Help me to see what you want me to do. Help, there's a thousand different kinds of temptations probably, or thousands. But do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to draw nigh to God. Flee to Him. Seek Him. Start praying, Lord, have mercy. I want nothing of this. I don't want any cords attached to my heart. I don't want there to be anything there that I have sympathy for. I want it cut completely. I don't want anything to do with this. And do you know that when the devil sees that, he don't have any choice but to flee this morning. So take a stand in our life and ask God violently, vehemently, Lord, I don't want anything to do with this. Cut the ties, cut the lines, turn yourself in another direction, turn away from it. I think if Eve would have done herself a great favor to just say, no, no, Satan, I want nothing to do with that. God told me no, and I mean no. And if she, I believe, would have turned around and fled from that place, I think things would be different today. You know, Eve could have done that. She could have turned. But I'll tell you, our passions get up. Anger gets up. Passions get up in many different ways. Folks, we have to be careful of the way we're made with passions, with those feelings that we have this morning. Run from those things. Cut off every aspect. We say, well, you know, how can I get, that's the way I feel. Well, I want to tell you something. Go to the Lord and start telling Him, Lord, I want nothing of this. I don't want to feel anything for this. I don't want any sympathy for this. I want You to strengthen me. I want You to deliver me from this battle. I want You to deliver me from this place. And do you know that when we vehemently turn to the Lord, I will tell you, there's power with God. He is able and will deliver us from every evil that would come into our lives. And I thank God for that this morning. When I hear people say that we have to sin more or less every day, folks, that is what destroys everything. That's what's destroying the world today. Everywhere you find a piece of sin, you find something evil. You find something destroyed. You find troubles. You find wars and turmoils and split up homes and all kinds of things, all coming from sin, doesn't it? You know, this morning, God wants to help us to get a vision of something better, something greater, something we can pour ourselves into. We turn from those things and we run into the Lord. And we give ourselves to Him. Lord, I want out of this place. I want to know Your will. I want You to have Your way in my life. I want to give myself to godly things. Then run into the Lord. Run into His will. Run into His ways. Run into His presence. And I believe what we will find is there is more there than we ever dreamed there was this morning. God can begin to turn our mind like nothing else can. And we're not strong enough in ourselves. You know, in Luke 4 and 13 it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Do you know that Jesus endured some things? And then it says the devil departed from him for a season. And it doesn't tell us when he came back. But I will assure you that was not the only temptation Jesus ever faced. I will tell you, when people were spitting in his face, he was tempted. I promise you, he was tempted probably to call down 12 legions of angels and stop this thing. He was tempted. Folks, we are tempted too. And I want to tell you something. When you read that story about Jesus' temptation, on the end of that, I want to just look that up real quick, because I want to read what it says on the end of it. Luke 4 and 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." Do you know how many times I have seen the power of the Spirit of God become really manifest after a real trial that was fought and won? You know, Satan was there trying to defeat Jesus. But we see when he went through that place and he went through that time, it says then that he returned in the power of the Spirit. We forget that sometimes. Folks, there's something for us to fight for. God wants to come on our lives. He wants to bless our lives with His power and His blessing. And many times it comes through fighting through some things. And then what is there? The blessing that God has for you and me this morning. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. I want to think about another thing now. And, well, I will go on and finish the thought there. Brother Stanley taught us many times, several times, that everyone had a besetting sin. Not something they did, something that they would fall to if they were not careful, if they did not keep their walk with the Lord, and if they allowed it room. I'm thinking this morning about keeping a distance between us and the enemy and not making any provision for the flesh. Do you know that we have to recognize that we have to be careful, don't we? And I'm thinking about the scripture that says Romans 13 and 14, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Do you know, when we go somewhere on a trip or we go camping or something, when the men went a while back, they went down to Houston last week to help in that effort, there was provisions. They were setting up themselves to be able to be taken care of while they were there. And so they took two boats, they took a motor, they took life jackets, they took extra gas, 100 and whatever gallons of extra gas. They took food, they took water, a whole pallet of water, and they provided for all those things so they would have that provision when they needed it. Do you know the scripture tells us to not make any provision for the flesh? That is a place where we have to cut the provision out. The flesh and sin is fed, just like anything else. We have to cut off the feed. We have to cut off the line that feeds those things. I think about, and we mentioned this a year or so ago when we were doing a study along these lines. There was a battle over in Africa in World War II, and we know that Rommel was there. And, you know, he was a foe. His tanks were superior to the Allies' tanks. He was a superior general. He was wise. He was smart. He was able to do his job well and win. But I'll tell you what he didn't have. The Allies had sunk all the supplies coming to him, like more than half of them, I believe. And they had sunk so much until he didn't have any fuel to work with. He wanted to work. He would have worked. He would have probably overcome that area. But he didn't have what it took because the supply lines were cut off. Folks, we need to be violent in our work, in our life against temptation. Cut off all the supply lines. Starve it. Don't let it have any breath. Don't let it have any room. Don't let it have a place. Don't make provision just in case. Don't do that. Cut it out, all of it, and make no provision for the flesh. Jesus said in John 14 and 30, he said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." What that means to me is that Jesus said, he don't have any place in me. I haven't made him a spot. I haven't given him any provision. I haven't given him any room. This morning, folks, will we be tempted? Yes, we will. Do we have to give the devil space and room? Do we have to provide for that temptation? I will tell you, I don't know what Eve's situation was, but I'm guessing that that was not the first time she went by that tree and looked at it. I will guess that Eve kind of beat a path there every once in a while and took a look at that tree. And eventually, the devil was like, "It's good. Why don't you try?" You know what? We should run from those things. Don't provide for the flesh. Whether it's pride or lust or anger, whether it's theft or murder or maliciousness or lying, those things beset different people. Some of those things many of us would never be tempted with, and others most of us will be tempted with. Do you know this morning, the Lord help us to recognize our foe, recognize how to fight and to win. Like I say, we'll probably only get about halfway through or so. But I'm thinking this morning, God help us to learn to be successful against temptation. You know, Jesus said, as we read, that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You know, there was a time that there was a battle in Jericho, and I believe, did he not, the Lord told them, don't take any of their stuff. But it was gold. It was valuable. It could be needed. It could be really used. But God said, don't take any of it, didn't he? And you know what? There was a fella named Achan that saw a gold wedge. And he saw some garments. And he saw some things that he just thought, that'd be pretty nice to have. And he took it. And he hid it. And nobody knew he had it. But I want to tell you something. When the battle got on, Satan had something in them. And they lost miserably. And they came back and they went to the Lord. Lord, we lost. And we lost bad. What was wrong? Do you know this morning the Lord showed Joshua, there's sin in the camp. There's somebody that's got some stuff they shouldn't have. Do you know this morning, we can't have any wedges. We can't win our battles if we have wedges. If we have the flesh and we're making room for it, and we are pampering it, and we are loving it, and we are making provision for it, expect to lose. Because we will. Because we cannot in ourselves win these battles. And it takes the power of God this morning. The Lord help us. I mentioned about Rommel, but I want to tell you, the siege of Jerusalem was the same way. It was the same way. When Titus came with his armies and surrounded Jerusalem, he didn't even have to fight. He just starved them to death. They didn't have anything to eat. They got to the point that they ate up everything there was, and people starved to death. People began to eat people, even. I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't say that here. But you know, that's history. That's what happened there. But I will tell you how it happened. There was no supply lines to that city because they surrounded it completely. Let's cut off the supply lines to the flesh. I believe the Lord wants us to win this morning. Did you know that anger has supply lines? Did you know we have a choice to think on the things that we do? Did you know we have a choice? But you say, I can't help it. I want to tell you what we do. I'm not a person just given to anger, but I know what anger is too. Now I'll tell you what we have to do. We have to run to the Lord. Lord, I'm angry. I feel angry. I don't want to do something wrong. I don't want to say something wrong here. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. I'll tell you what to do if you're angry. Run to the Lord and begin to call upon Him. God in heaven, help me. Now, so often people pray for their enemies. Help them to do different. Lord, help them to quit this. Help me, Lord. Help me. Take this out of me. Make me able to do well. Do you know that we can cut the supply lines off? We can choose to think on other things. Self-pity has supply lines. It takes a real submission to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. It says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Depression has supply lines. Now I think many times our depression can be helped a whole lot, folks, if we have depression, by cutting off the supply lines. Don't think on negative things. Don't let ourselves think. We have to purposely, in those times, think of something, think of good things. It says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. What a deal. In everything give thanks? We don't give thanks for the devil beating us up, but we can give thanks right in the middle of it. We can give thanks for what God is doing, that He's keeping us in the middle of those things. Do you know that those things can be helped? I was thinking about some of the scriptures. Matthew 5 and 43 to 44. It says here, Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's two ways to deal with it, or maybe several. You know, we can hate them. We can pray for God's wrath upon them. I had a man tell me that one time. He was telling me, oh, how he prayed for God's wrath on people. Well, do you know this morning the Lord said, love your enemies and bless them and pray for them which despitefully use you. I will tell you, that's a real antidote. If we are tempted to hate, to have anger toward, to have resentments toward, I want to tell you, we can start working on some of these issues. Lord, help me to do good to them. Help me, no matter how I may feel. Many times it is broken when we begin to work with it in God's way. And so we begin to do good to them that really dislike us or even hate us. It says do good to them. Do you know that's the opposite of the flesh? Because what does the flesh do? It fights back. A punch for a punch. Jesus said one place, well, right here, he says, you heard that it hath been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus had something totally different, didn't he? If we want to win and we want to have love in our hearts, do it God's way. Fight that flesh. Don't let it have any space or room. Pray earnestly for them, not against them, for them. Lord, heal their heart. Lord, heal this wild man over there in North Korea. Lord, have mercy upon our world. Lord, help us. Help me. Help me to be a fountain of your love to people. Help me to know how to share things. Do you know that that changes the battle then from a constantly defensive battle to one that is aggressively offensive? And we begin to look for ways. And I will tell you, when you start doing that and you pray to the Lord, there is a dynamic that begins to work that changes things. And even that feeling in your heart begins to change, and you begin to love them. You begin to feel like you love them, not just love them. And the Lord wants to do that for us this morning. And so I just want to encourage us today. I know we're out of time, but let's cut off those supply lines. Something robbing your prayer time, folks, cut it off. Something robbing your love for someone, cut the supply line off and fight the Lord's way with love. It's the powerful force, and it's able to do those kind of things. Flee, the scripture says. Maybe we'll read some of these things later. I don't know who might be here tonight, but perhaps we'll finish this another time. I want to encourage us today to flee from the things of this world. Some things the Lord says fight. Other things he says flee. Don't even get close. Don't try to fight it. Run from it. Get away from it. And so all of these things, there's much that the Lord gives us about fighting successfully and winning. I believe the Lord wants us to have a conscience that is free from the guilt of sin. The Lord wants us to have a life that we can go to bed at night and feel, I know if something would happen, I know I'm ready to meet the Lord. But folks, we're going to have to fight for it, because we will be tempted. We will have to violently take this by force if we're going to take it. There's other things, and I'll get to some of those. We were going to get to a number of things, lust and the pride of life and a whole host of things, folks, that the devil wants to fight you and me with. Let's fight today. I believe we can win. The Lord has a good, a most blessed life for us if we will serve Him with all of our hearts. Y'all pray for me.